Hey, everybody, it's Ben and Rob. We're your hosts from Rise.tv, bringing you the answers that will leave you on the edge of wonder. Over the past few days, a lot of people have been outraged because PayPal made a policy that they would fine customers $2,500 for misinformation. But after the backlash and tanking stocks, they suddenly backtracked. The question is, why does this threat to free speech by affecting people's wallets smell a lot like a communist plot? Well, Ben and I can tell you all about the background of that.
Oh, yeah, we can. And that's not all that's happening in the world. Tulsi Gabbard just called on Democrats to leave the party in a new video message. Then the national and global economy is shifting and money manipulation is becoming more apparent. And Biden is starting to roll in the Inflation Reduction Act, leaving everyone confused. But really, what's going on? We're going to get into all of that and break it down. So where is all this headed?
Well, these discussions today will lead us into the exclusive part of this live show on Rise.tv, where we'll bring you our deep dive on the World Economic Forum. We're going to reveal all the details you'll have to see to believe with our unique Edge of Wonder perspective, and we'll also answer your questions directly in our live Q&A.
But for now, let's get started talking about the world economic manipulation and PayPal. So we'll see you guys out
on the edge. Are you listening to the Edge of Wonder podcast? If you are, please leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us reach even more people. We'd really appreciate it.
Thank you.
How you doing, Ben?
Pretty good. It's been a crazy week.
Yeah.
So sorry, I couldn't.
You're in shelter somewhere, so I assume that's good.
Yeah, no, I'm at home, and man, oh my God, it was like a monsoon that happened here yesterday, actually, and I got caught in the middle of it, driving. It was insane, and I think because all the infrastructure has kind of been damaged by the hurricane, just flooding here is just like it's just happening so quick. Just massive flash flooding. The bridge that I was on literally flooded as I was on it, and my car actually stopped in about 2 feet of water on the bridge. This was just yesterday. So then it's like, as soon as it stops raining, everything just kind of, you know, it kind of goes away. But I think because, yeah, it's just what happened with the hurricane, there's still a lot of things going on. But I did fix my roof. I was happy about that. Got power, got internet. And so overall I'm doing pretty good now. Friday I was totally beat though, but it's been interesting. Been talking to some people in the area and hearing some incredible stories and very sad stories at the same time.
Oh, so, yeah. Usually those are all coupled with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well,
definitely.
Glad your house is okay.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's good to be back.
Yeah,
I saw, but I mean, what you guys did on Friday, I was like, part of me was like wanting to be there, and the other part of me was like, I don't know if I would have made it through eating the peppers or the chips.
No, Ben. No,
I can't do it.
No, that wouldn't have been good for you.
Probably not.
That might have definitely ended the show short.
For me, it would have 100%.
It was one of the hottest things I've ever eaten for sure. That's so if great. You guys who are listening to this weren't there on Friday Night Live, Seth Holhouse and I did the one chip challenge where we ate the hottest chips in the world, and they were pretty much fried in capsaicin oil, which is like very, very, very like condensed hot oil, like the hottest oil in the world. And then they have like this Carolina Reaper spice all over it. And Seth was in rough shape for a little while. It was great. It was really fun. It was funny.
Pretty crazy.
Well, yeah, but we've got a great show for you guys tonight. We're going to be going through all the things. Tulsi Gabbard leaving the Democratic Party. We're going to be going, oh, there it is. Yeah, the Great Reset backfires. That was the Friday Night Live. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be going over stuff with the World Economic Forum. Big deep dive on that later in the show. We're going through this Inflation Reduction Act and everything going on with PayPal. I mean, what the heck is going on with PayPal? But Ben, where did you want to start with Tulsi Gabbard here?
Yeah, let's start with that. I mean, we'll play her video. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, let's do that. I actually haven't gotten to see the whole thing yet.
I can no longer remain in today's Democratic Party that's under the complete control of an elitist cabal of warmongers.
That's awesome.
By cowardly wokeness, who divide us by racializing every issue and stoking anti-white racism, who actively work to undermine our God-given freedoms that are enshrined in our Constitution, who are hostile to people of faith and spirituality, who demonize the police but protect criminals at the expense of law-abiding Americans, who believe in open borders, who weaponize the national security state to go after their political opponents, and above all, who are dragging us ever closer to nuclear war. Now, I believe in a government that's of the people, by the people, and for the people. Unfortunately, today's Democratic Party does not. Instead, it stands for a government that is of, by, and for the powerful elite. Now, I'm calling on my fellow common sense, independent-minded Democrats to join me in leaving the Democratic Party. If you can no longer stomach the direction that the so-called woke Democratic Party ideologues are taking our country, then I invite you to join me.
Okay, Ben, tell me what you think of this. Gut reaction here.
Yeah. I mean, one, it's just awesome that she's calling everything out, like, as it is, you know. Two, the only problem is that a lot of the very extreme left Democratic, so this is the problem, you know. It's like the Democratic Party has now gone so far extreme left that the moderate Democrats are having a really difficult time. And I think she's really, my understanding is she's really kind of talking to the moderate Democrat, not so much the far left woke people, because those are the ones that are just, they've kind of lost all common sense, to be honest. And I think that, you know, but the downside is that she's being heavily criticized by that extreme left woke
mob,
whatever you want to say. Yeah, mob.
If you will.
Yeah. Yeah. So like they're just calling her a Russian asset, a Russian spy, that she's like a Putin sympathizer and all these things. And it's like,
did she say anything about Russia there?
Did she say exactly? And it's like, do you guys want World War III? Like, shouldn't we find any ways possible to stop World War III from happening? And instead it's like, we can't get along, so therefore it's like you're pointing fingers at people. And it's like they were blaming Trump originally for like Trump's gonna start World War III, these talks with North Korea and blah 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 blah, you know. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, you guys are like blasting the people that are actually trying to stop World War III from happening, like Elon and Tulsi and so many other people out there. So it's just like, it's like, do you guys want World War III? That's my question to the people on the far left and the wokeism aspect. But what do you think, Rob?
I'm going to be completely honest. I didn't have a thing. I couldn't find a thing wrong with what she said. But like, I agree with everything that she said. But something about Tulsi Gabbard and how well she can speak, it irks me.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, she's a politician.
No, that's maybe what it is. It's like there is amongst a group of politicians this trained way of delivering commentary like that, which just something about it really gets under my skin a little bit. Like, not that I have a problem with her, what she says. I'll watch videos of stuff she says and I'm like, rock on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But I don't know, just politicians just freak me out a little bit. How well they can
I think I get it.
I'm kind of sensitive to stuff, and like it, I don't know if there was anything really behind it.
Or if this is,
I'll give you an example.
Up in itself. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you're going with this.
I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
When I hear Carrie Lake talk, I'm just like, that is the whole woman you're looking at there.
It's her, like, she's speaking from her heart.
Yeah, she's speaking from her heart. Yeah. She says what she means. She thinks what she says, and she just really like really delivers that information.
This was extremely calculated.
Very, very.
And it's like,
very,
why now?
Very
why
not, calculated.
Why not come out like?
And so,
a while
like
ago.
Everything, you know, as someone who researches the type of stuff that we research, when I see something like that, I'm just like, I'm not saying anything bad about it, but I'm also like observing and keeping, you know, arm's length from that whole thing. That's kind of where I'm at.
Interesting. I guess we'll
very, she's overly polished. Like Obama was overly polished. Like, and that is my point, is like Obama was a really good orator too.
But he was trained in that way.
But yes, that's the thing, is these trained politicians freak me out, man.
Yeah. Because you don't know if they're like acting. Like, I mean, it's like, yeah.
You don't know what's really behind there. And with Trump, you know what you're getting. That's why I like Trump.
That's why I like Trump too. Because it was totally off the cuff, and he was just like,
Kerry Lake, so you witty. Know what you're getting. Like Pompeo, you know what you're getting. Mike Pence, arm's length. I'm like, every time I listen to Mike Pence talk, I'm like, that's very calculated. I don't know if I'm hearing what this guy really thinks, you know?
It's so true.
Same thing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is going to be interesting to see what she's going to do, because it's possible she may run for something in the Republican
Party. I think
Party
she's going to run for something. I think this was a very calculated thing that she's pulling out now. I think she's saying what a large group of people want to hear, but for what reason and to what end? I'm not saying don't trust her. I'm just saying observe people.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm going to completely give her the benefit of the doubt here, though, and see where this goes. And
I can jive with that.
Yeah,
I get you. Like, look, hey, there's not a lot of people with the gonads to even say what she said. And so for that, sure. I'll give her this, but I'm still going to keep an eye on this. Yeah.
Well, it's also interesting because so you have the war in Ukraine that's coming out, all the vaccine stuff that just kind of came out to over to yesterday and today as well. It was really trending today on Twitter. And then you have the Inflation Reduction Act. It's all kind of going on simultaneously. And some people are thinking that this whole war about Ukraine could be a distraction from what's going on with the vaccines, in which the Pfizer spokesperson in a public hearing said that there was zero clinical trials for the vaccines. And they said originally that there was. So this kind of changes a lot of things. And so this is like, everyone's talking about this on Twitter, and then, you know, the whole war in Ukraine. And then now, so the Inflation Reduction Act, that's to me one of the issues that could have sparked her from leaving the party. And that's why I'm kind of giving her the benefit of the doubt right now. Because, you know, so Biden, Lindsay, actually, if you want to pull up this tweet from Joe Biden here.
No. Oh, no. No.
I can't believe we're pulling up a tweet. No, really. Every single Democrat voted for the Inflation Reduction Act. Every single Republican voted against it. And when you read this, that makes
it... I feel
it...
like this is the most retarded tweet I've ever read in my life. Like, it's like basically like 1 + 1 = 2. 3 + 3 = 6. End of tweet.
Well, I have to admit, I'm like, okay, well, obviously now they're criticizing every single Republican, you know, and some of the comments was really funny. And some people were saying, well, that's because every single Republican read it and no one on the Democratic Party actually read it. So it's like
Republicans read, Democrats paid.
It's like, if Joe Biden is, and by the way, of all people, Bill Gates helped write the Inflation Reduction Act. So, you know, right there's agenda behind it. And I think once you kind of get into it, you start understanding why the Republicans weren't behind this.
Hey, we got a good question here. Did Tulsi vote for the Inflation Reduction Act, or did she vote against it? Because he said all Democrats voted for it.
Yeah, I still don't believe that all Democrats voted for it. And there might be some Republicans that voted for it, you know, there's on both sides. So I'm kind of curious.
You might be able to see if you can track that down for us.
The only way we would know is if she said it herself, because you're not going to be, or if someone calls her out on it, like somebody else in the Democratic Party called her out for not supporting it. She hasn't supported certain bills presented by the Democratic Party in the past and been heavily criticized for not supporting those. But then it's like I said, we're going to get into this and explain what it is. So actually, Rob, do you want to read this first one? So here's a breakdown of some of the major bullet points of what is in the Inflation Reduction Act. And on the surface, it sounds great. It's like, yeah, we need to lower inflation. And like we all would agree on that. But how come I'm kind of confused why lowering the inflation wasn't really being presented in the act itself?
The Inflation Reduction Act seemingly has literally nothing to do with inflation. Okay, so here it is. Here's the bulleted list.
I'll
start with the first one, Ben.
Yeah.
Creation of a 15% corporate minimum tax rate. Corporations with at least $1 billion in income will have a new tax rate of 15%. Taxes on individuals and households won't be increased. Stock buybacks by corporations will face a 1% excise tax.
That's great. But for one, if you have a $1 billion company, it's like,
so basically they're like, let's tax the corporations so we can give it all to Ukraine.
That's pretty much,
they're just giving billions to Ukraine. We're not seeing any of that.
This has nothing to do with inflation.
Not going to help
common folk. Like, okay.
All right. Hit number two. Next point.
Number two. Prescription drug price reform. Medicare recipients will have a $2,000 cap on annual out-of-pocket prescription drug costs starting in 2025. Okay, this sounds good on the surface, right? It's like, okay, great. So no matter how much
if you're taking meds all the time, Ben, which you and I aren't, this doesn't help us.
That doesn't help us, but granted, there are people out there. However,
understood, agreed.
What Trump was trying to do was go after the companies, asking them, why are you charging $1,000 for one pill? That makes no sense. We need to change fundamentally how the drug companies are producing these and giving it to the masses.
Amen.
That's not being addressed.
Preach, brother.
So to me, it's like that would be a better outcome, not saying here's a $2,000 cap on Medicare.
The next part is great.
Yes.
I really want to know how this helps inflation. The IRS tax enforcement, the bill will invest $80 billion in the nation's tax agency over the next 10 years. What the actual hell?
Yeah. So this, you guys, is the main reason why the Republicans voted against this. Because what all this is going to do is, it's like, okay, we'll give you a tax break, but yet we're going to get it back sooner or later because we're going to put it back into the IRS, which is going to go back after you anyway. So it's like whatever tax break you get, we'll just get back in the long run because we're going after you. And that's what this tells me exactly. $80 billion. Like, it's like if you truly have that money, why don't you invest it in something positive for the people? That, to me, this is going against the people.
Agreed.
All right. We have to play a trailer. And when we get back, we're going to get more into what this act is revealing.
All right. So you guys, we're talking about politicians and the government. So speaking of vampires, we did a series about them, actually. And did you know that the original vampire Dracula was actually Vlad the Impaler? If you want some great Halloween content and want to hear an amazing deep dive we did on Vlad, the Order of the Dragon, and how the royal family is related, please check out this trailer for this Edge of Wonder series.
I assure you, vampires are just in the movies. I would swear it on my soul if I had one. What truths are lurking in our legends? They couldn't possibly be based on a real-life monster, could they? Vlad the Impaler was not just known for his war tactics. Some say that he was also the world's first vampire, Dracula. But is it all just a batty tale? or are the movies talking about something real? Find out in part one of Edge of Wonders Halloween series, Vlad the Impaler and Dracula.
Just love in time it. For Halloween. So yeah, you guys can find that and all of our Edge of Wonder series that Rob and I have created on our platform, rise.tv.
And if you're listening to the podcast right now, please give us a 5-star rating and review so that we can reach more people. Thank you.
All right. Back to this inflation reduction
dumpster fire.
Yeah. So why don't you go into the next one, which is Affordable Care Act.
The Affordable Care Act subsidy extension. So currently medical insurance premiums under the ACA are subsidized by the federal government to lower premiums. These subsidies, which were scheduled to expire at the end of this year, will be extended through 2025. Oh, how magnanimous of you. Thank you. Approximately 3 million Americans could lose their health insurance if these subsidies weren't extended, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Sure. Again, this is like basically this is Obamacare.
Nothing to do with inflation.
Nothing to do with inflation. And we could get into all of like really what this is. But if you really break down Obamacare, the main people who are benefiting from it the most out of anybody are the insurance companies, unfortunately. And that's why Trump was against it, because it's like, again, we need a reform for our medical industry. And realistically, the medical industry today, right now, it's really this medical industrial complex that controls every aspect, because they're not trying to heal anybody. They're trying to make money. It's a private, most hospitals are privately owned, and most people don't know that. So they're actually corporations that make money. And how do you get money? Having patients and having customers. So if you're totally healthy and cure of illness, then you're not going to be going to a hospital. So more food for thought in that. So in the last one, Rob, go ahead and read that.
Yeah. So energy security and climate change investments. The bill includes numerous investments in climate protection, including tax credits for households to offset energy costs, investments in clean energy production and tax credits aimed at reducing carbon emissions. Does not help anyone.
So
at all with any.
Yeah. And on the surface, again, it's like, oh, well, okay, wait a minute. They're giving credit breaks in.
It's everything tax revolved around climate change.
Yeah.
That's goes the main right thing. Back into the Democrats' pockets and has nothing to do with reality. Like, it's all an agenda run by the UN and the World Economic Forum.
And also, these other source of energies cost, the cost is very high. Like, for example, you want to buy a Tesla. I mean, you're going to. You need at least, well, I think they're a little bit cheaper now, but let's just say at least $50,000 to buy a Tesla, right? Okay, you get maybe some tax break. You put solar panels on your roof, which are, again, very expensive, and they have like certain payments that you pay monthly on, you know, forever, yeah, basically. But it's like, this is like a short-term gain, because one of the things that I was kind of reading is how in our society, everything's very everything's about competition. So if the government steps in, it kind of eliminates competition, which forces companies or allows companies to keep prices very high. So as the competition grows, it's like, oh, well, people start lowering their prices, coming out, you know, like you can use TVs as an example, right? Every time a new TV with new technology comes out, it's like super expensive, right? Like $2,000. But then all of a sudden brands that are a little bit cheaper come out with a similar model, maybe not as good. And then eventually things like start lowering the prices, and, you know, the cycle kind of repeats itself with every form of technology. For the consumer, then it's like, oh yeah, I can't buy it this year, but maybe next year when it's lower in price, I'll buy it. And it's like, this stops that from happening. So it keeps the prices high. And so it's like, okay, you maybe get $2,000 back at the end of the year, But wouldn't it be better if it's like lowered the price by like $15,000 than just getting $2,000 back at the end of the year? So anyway, that's what this is actually stopping. You know,
Okay, it makes sense now. So basically they created a bill with all of this nonsense stuff in it that supports their agendas, called it the Inflation Reduction Act, knew that the Republicans wouldn't vote for it while everyone is hurting at the gas stations and everything. And then when the Republicans didn't vote for it, they say, hey, look, the Republicans didn't vote for the Inflation Reduction Act. What trash people, when there was nothing in the bill about inflation to begin with, which is why the Republicans rejected it. And then everybody out there just cheap, don't read through these things or look into them at all, and just think what they see on the surface is actually what's going on. And you people are the problem. Those people are the problem, actually. That's the problem.
Nailed it. That's exactly what's happening. Because, I mean, I was expecting to read something about oil and gas prices. We will cap to – this is what the cap should be on. We're capping oil companies to make sure that they cannot raise the price any more than X amount of dollars.
But even that is, to some extent, that isn't the problem. The problem is Biden. Biden is a terrible decision maker, and he's being controlled by – global assets.
That's the main thing. And it's like, okay, there's nothing in this about the Fed, right? It's like, oh, the cap should really be on the Fed. We're capping the Fed. You cannot increase interest rates by X amount percent every year to every month. You can only do this much. You know, that's what I wanted to see. That's what I was expecting to read in this. And I'm like, this has nothing to do with inflation. Like, where this is all about. Yeah. This is getting the people who wrote this bill are going to be getting checks. You know, this is like money that's going to end up going to them in the long run.
So it's all of it.
Yeah.
None of this helped anything. This is a bunch of BS.
Completely.
Total BS.
So anyway, that's our thoughts on. So if anyone was confused out there, I hope that kind of cleared things up. And
the most exciting part of that last segment was the Vlad the Impaler trailer. I just want to say that. All right. Well, anyway, we should probably get into PayPal, which interestingly has not been anyone's pal recently at all. No one's friend there. How can a company named PayPal try to steal your money? Could be called Pay Pirate. That's crazy. So PayPal's stock has basically been taking a beating after they released information in their policy saying that they would take $2,500 from anyone who they deem to be sharing misinformation.
Yeah, so their shares went down from roughly about 9%. It went up a little bit, but about 9%. It was like around $95, and the lowest point it went down to $80, which doesn't sound like a whole lot, but when you're a company with like massive amount of shares and all this, you know, everyone has all the stock, it comes out to billions of dollars actually that they lost. And this says that article says 6%, but actually it's wrong because it's a little bit outdated now. It was more than that. And this is a PayPal, Dan Schulman. He's the CEO of PayPal. He came out with a statement.
No. He was the ex CEO, right?
No. This guy's the current. In this article, I'm going to read it.
Oh, you're said, wrong word.
Yeah. This is their defense. This is what PayPal said in their defense. They said we barred hate groups, the Proud Boys on the far right and Antifa on the far left from using our platform. Granted, he said this at the World Economic Forum in an interview. So. This the difficult part there is identifying, this is his words, the difficult part is that identifying what is hatred and what is freedom of speech. Nobody teaches you that.
I think they missed history class. I think all of them missed history class, and none of them know what a communist is.
Well, I mean, any group that is saying something negative about another group, you know, in a hateful way, I can understand
that. Yeah, would like be the KKK, Ben. I mean, like, have you really ever looked into the Proud Boys and the stuff that they say?
A little bit.
Was it bad?
I mean, from what I've seen, not so much. I mean, I and there's like, also
no,
a lot
no,
of
no. Let me ask you a more specific question.
Yeah.
Would you equate that the far right's version of Antifa is the Proud Boys? Would you equate the Proud Boys with Antifa?
Probably not.
Not even a comparison there. Like you and I saw the Proud Boys run by, and they just looked like a bunch of military dudes who were like really into the country. That's all I saw.
I agree. I will admit they are a little bit more anxious, I would say. You know, that they're more willing to.
You can go to a bar down the street with a bunch of Hell's Angels, and they're anxious.
That's true too. That in fact, I wonder if they would be barred from using PayPal.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so I mean,
or would they be too afraid to even try to bar them?
Like with Antifa, Antifa actually goes out and destroys businesses and homes and loots things and hurts people. This, and you're comparing that group with a group that hasn't done any of that at all. Like that those two things aren't okay to do. This is what I'm talking about. Like the whole thing is like off there, you know?
Completely, completely. Now, what you're talking about, Rob, David Marcus, he was the former president of PayPal. One of the reasons why this went so viral is because he posted something on Twitter right when this happened. And you can read this, Rob, if you want.
Yeah. Okay. So this is David Marcus. He said, "It's hard for me to openly criticize a company I used to love and gave so much to, but PayPal's new AUP goes against everything I believe in. A private company now gets to decide to take your money if you say something they disagree with. Insanity."
Yeah, this is what made everything go viral with the PayPal, because I think PayPal, honestly, they know what they're doing. I mean, when you change your policy,
yeah, you don't how many lawyers reviewed that policy before it actually like the launch button was hit?
Yeah. Completely.
Come on. Like people are like, come like they think we're stupid. Come on. Oh, it was a mistake. That text just got in there as a mistake. Isn't it still there somewhere?
So what they're really trying to say is that it was misinformation then.
So PayPal is going to... So
PayPal is like, oh, I'm sorry. That was misinformation on our end, right?
Did everyone in the company just get $2,500? What happened there?
Or everybody else in the world, actually.
Yeah. You know, and like, I'm surprised Elon Musk hasn't said anything about this, because Elon Musk was one of the co-creators of PayPal, right?
He commented on, I think he made, Lindsay actually.
He must have said something about it.
Go back to that David Marcus tweet. I think he responded, Elon did. I could be wrong. Scroll down. Yeah.
He just said, Elon agreed.
He agreed.
Agreed.
Oh man. Yeah, so massive backlash happened on Twitter. You know, it's like they're so worried about the woke community offending the woke community that it's like everyone thinks the other side is just like nothing. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, that's the side. If you really want to pay attention, what happens when someone posts something to go along with the woke community, to go along with the other side who are awake? It's like when they post something that goes along with the awoken, like truly awake side, the stock seems to go up. When you cater to the woke side, your stock goes down.
But this is just it.
The woke side don't have stock. They can't afford stock. They're just voices on Twitter, and most of them are like
in a clown world. It's such a clown world. Like every single time companies do things that people like, money goes up. Every time they do something people don't like, it goes down. And all they're doing now is things people don't like. Right. All the wokeness, all the agenda. Nobody likes it. Nobody cares. Nobody's watching those things. Nobody's taking part in those business initiatives. And it's all so where why is it happening? Why on a scale like this are all of these dumb business decisions being made unless it was a woke mob, or in other words, like a global set of elite people that were forcing these actions into play? So it's
I mean, companies need
so obvious.
Yeah, it totally. And it's frustrating. I mean, it's frustrating the fact that actually the Epoch Times had a really, really good breakdown of this. And the author of this, who I'm not quite sure who, what was his name again? Jeffrey Tucker. One of the things he points out is that, you know, this sounds like it's a big win, but at the same time, it's just sad that we have to like fight against things like this. That, you know, we have to ban on Twitter and these social media platforms to stop these corporations from doing these illegal things.
Look, let's get a little bit weird here for a sec.
Sure.
So this was not an accident. Jeffrey Tucker is right. And the reason why this is not an accident is because they purposely did this to see what would happen and to ease these, basically to ease this entire thing into play over a long period of time. So if all of these different companies start doing things that affect our privacy more and more, and it levels up, and then there's others that are taking steps, like before you know it, we have no privacy, we have no property, we have no freedom. And so a company like this was not a mistake. They did it on purpose. They're trying to push the limits of what they can do so that they can get away with even more. And we're all being affected by that. Absolutely.
Everybody is. And I mean, like, so I didn't know this, but I didn't know that PayPal bought Venmo, and I'm banned from using Venmo. Mm. You know, they won't tell me. They blocked my account. So I couldn't send or receive any money either way. And they won't tell me why. And Airbnb did the same thing to me. They just deleted my account without warning. And I even booked a reservation. This was a while ago. And it was like, all of a sudden, it just said your reservation has been canceled. And I thought, what? And then when I tried to access my account, it says you can no longer access your account. And I'm like, why? What? And then they won't tell me why. And Venmo was just like, well, and I had to talk to three people. I called them. They're like, transfer me to somebody else. They're like, oh, you need to email this person. And then I finally emailed them. And I get this random weird email back that was just like, a bunch of nonsense. And it was kind of like, well, you know why? I'm like, no, I don't know why you deleted my account.
That's why you're asking.
That's why I'm asking. This is weird. Where is it in your policy that you can just like delete whoever, you know? I'm glad I had money in there too. So I was glad that I was able to get the money out, but they allowed me to do that. But it's like super weird. You know?
That is very weird.
And this is the downside. And it's like the same thing with what happened here at the hurricane. You know, now a lot more businesses are opening up, but and Wi-Fi is coming back around in the area. But for the first week, hardly any business had Wi-Fi. All you could use is cash. And it just shows right there that it's like we cannot have a system that is based on, you know, digital currency. I mean, that can be like a backup. We can have that, but it's like, we still need cash because otherwise then you're stuck. Like, what are you going to use? Like, I guess you could use silver and gold at that point, but you know,
no, you couldn't do that right now.
Probably not though.
No, not right now.
I could probably sell it to somebody, you know. It's like, oh, I don't have any cash. Yeah. It's like, yeah. I have silver or gold, you know, can I sell this to you and get cash and then pay for that, you know? But it's just kind of weird. And obviously this is exactly, you know, the other thing about this Inflation Reduction Act, when you really break this down and really truly look at this, it just goes in line with everything that the World Economic Forum has been pushing.
1,000,000%.
Yeah. That's the main problem that I have with this. Again, it does nothing for the people. It's getting the people to be more dependent on the government. And that's what this Inflation Act did. That's what FEMA is trying to do with the hurricane. Honestly, that's they're here. They try to close everything down. DeSantis is like, no, we're not closing everything down. And it's like, it's all, they want people to depend on the government because then it's easier to control those people.
Lindsay, did you show that Monica Crowley tweet? I think it's good if we show
I'll
this.
I'll pull that up.
Yeah. So Monica Crowley here said, PayPal wanted to try out a CCP-style social credit system, got busted, and tried to walk it back. The stock is lower today because so many people rightfully canceled their accounts. But understand, this is where everything is heading unless we stop it, and we will. Yeah.
I thought this was a great tweet.
It's a great tweet. Sums up a lot of things here.
It does. It really does. And the thing is, we have no idea how many people canceled their account because PayPal would never really reveal that information, although they may have to when the quarter is up and they have to like have a meeting with the stock.
Yeah, it's public. It's public. At some
so
point.
We but, probably but, yeah, but will like, be able to find that information.
Yeah, but Twitter out. Never publicly states how many bots they have. It's not like they're, you know, like they those don't. Accounts, like they created those accounts so that it looks like there's more followers on Twitter and there's not. You know,
yeah, because I guarantee you for every one person that deletes their account on Twitter, they probably create a bot for, you know, at the same time. So it makes it look like they're not losing as many people. I like PayPal. I mean, granted, PayPal is a little bit more strict. You have to have like bank accounts, but you can technically open a PayPal account without really doing anything. You could just have it. You don't have to put in all your information right away. If you wanted to do any kind of transactions, then you do. So technically speaking, they could have a lot of fake accounts on PayPal that are just like there doing nothing if they really wanted to.
All right. Well, Ben, we've got to do trailer number two. So you guys, PayPal is just one example, but sometimes it feels like the policies being put in place in society are designed to make us react in certain ways. And that's exactly what MKUltra mind control projects really did to people. The media doesn't want to talk about this, but on Rise.TV, we have a new movie called Trance that weaves together Kathy O'Brien's experience as a victim of MKUltra and Project Monarch and tells a history of manipulation tactics that go back to the Nazis and the Cold War, probably even further back than that. So check out this trailer for Trance on Rise.TV.
It was so hard to come running out of a hell that nobody believed existed. My name is Kathy O'Brien, and I'm a survivor of MKUltra mind control. The MKUltra program was to ultimately control the minds of the population for implementing what Adolf Hitler first termed the New World Order. When girls reached age 30, they were murdered or they were sacrificed. I was going to be killed as well. I was to go out in a blaze of glory and be burned alive. I'm so fortunate that an intelligence insider who saw the kind of corruption that was going on in the highest levels of government decided to take action and rescued me and saved my life so that we could begin to expose what was being done.
Well, if you guys are watching the podcast right now, please give us a 5-star rating and review. And that was our new documentary, Trance.
Yeah, you can find that on our platform, Rise TV, along with all of our other content. And for those of you watching us on Rumble, especially if you're just subscribing to our platform or subscribing us to on Rumble, please subscribe. Or if you're just watching us on Rumble, subscribe to us.
Also, and, wait, stop the presses. Seth just interviewed Kathy O'Brien, and I think he released the interview today. So definitely go check that out. That's in a live interview with Kathy O'Brien. So you can watch the trans documentary, and you can also watch Seth interview Kathy O'Brien on Man in America. It's pretty cool.
It is. All right. Where are we?
I think we're somewhere around the World Economic Forum.
Yeah. How much time we got? Okay. So we're going to get more into the World Economic Forum when we go on our platform, because we're going to start diving into people's names and who's supporting them. And it's, you can pretty much see a massive web forming, and the same companies that are obviously promoting them also are changing their policies. So anyway, we'll get into that when we get on Rise, but I was very surprised to see that the World Economic Forum is promoting, and they're really proud of this, the Fourth Industrial Revolution.
You mean the book?
That, like, they're calling it the Fourth Industrial Revolution. It represents a fundamental change in the ways that we live and work. It is a new chapter. This is literally word for word on the World Economic Forum website.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm not exaggerating here. It is a new chapter in human development enabled by advances that are commensurate with those of the first, second, and third industrial revolutions, merging the physical, digital, and biological worlds, and fusing technologies in ways that create both promise and peril. They actually say that, peril.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was just really shocked about this because...
Out of curiosity, Ben, have you gotten to read Klaus Schwab's The Fourth Industrial Revolution book yet?
No, but I know all about it. And I read kind of a synopsis on it, but I haven't actually read it.
It's the entire book is like, yeah, this. Like, it's icky. I mean, he goes into great detail on how and what the Fourth Industrial Revolution is and how it's going to change everything. And it goes in and out of like things like frictionless shopping, which is basically like surveillance cameras that are watching everything that you do. So you can leave a store without paying for it and it charges you automatically. Like all of your, it's the social credit system basically in a book, like how to actually roll out the social credit system and have people in, you know, adopt those technologies instead of it being forced on them. It's really scary.
Mm. Yeah. That. Well, and also, this to me sounds like, what is it, the Fourth Reich, or is it the Third Reich or the Fourth Reich? I always forget the two.
Well, I think Hitler was going for a Third Reich.
The Third Reich, yeah. And that's, that's what...
This, we must be on four sometime now, I guess.
What?
Fourth Reich. The Third failed, so we moved on to the Fourth, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, man. I mean, that's to me what is going on. So I don't know. Lindsay, did you pull up the link for the World Economic Forum? Because I didn't, when you were reading it, did you pull that up?
I'm working on it. One sec.
Okay.
Yeah. And there, if you really kind of dig into the World Economic Forum website, it's like a treasure chest where the treasure is cow dung.
Center for the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I mean, it's just this to me is what are they going for? Seriously, what are they going for?
Technological slavery, I think. You know, it's like a combination of several movies, right? It's almost like if you could combine the movies WALL-E and Ready Player One, you'd probably have a pretty good idea of what they're trying to do here. I mean, look at everything that's happening with big tech and the corporations out there. Like right now, mm-hmm. Google is trying to make it so that the internet is privacy free. Mm-hmm. And that every single like website makes you sign in so that you can use their website. They're bullying websites into doing that, big websites. And then, you know, you've got, everything else like that's going on right now with Amazon, frictionless shopping being introduced into all of these different places. The metaverse, you know, Facebook changes its name to Meta, big move, and they're trying to create a metaverse so that we're kind of in our AR world, like full time. You know what AR is, right? So mm-hmm. VR is complete immersion virtual reality. AR is when you can
augmented reality.
Yeah, you've got glasses on, and in like it's the Tony Stark stuff yeah. where it's like, you know, your wallet's around your wrist and you can access stuff in there and pull screens up and watch it and then move them out of the way and all that kind of happy horse crap, you know. And XR is like everything, augmented reality, virtual reality, the whole thing, XR. Yeah. It's scary, scary world out there. It's a mad world.
It can be. That's for sure. And And then we got, so going back with Elon, which, you know, it's kind of strange because there's one media that said that Twitter denied him now that he was going to, you know, he wants to buy Twitter. And now, like, they were like, oh, Twitter doesn't want it to happen. But I only found that article. I think it was like Washington Post or something that published it. And now I don't see it anywhere else. So I don't know about that. But Vice published this really big disinformation piece on Elon today about supposedly Eurasia this Eurasia group, this founder Ian Bremmer, he told Vice that Elon sent an email to Putin with a proposal to end the war in Ukraine. And this is the article, and this is like just went viral everywhere. And Elon, someone asked directly on Twitter if this article was true, and Elon said his response was, "No, it's not. I have spoken to Putin only once, and that was about 18 months ago. The subject matter was space." And so what was trending after this was the Logan Act. And the Logan Act was put in place in like the 1800s. And it basically means that
Wolverine is going to destroy everyone.
That's it. And
the Logan Act.
Him and Deadpool, now that they're...
He and Deadpool are going to go in and destroy the Democratic Party. That's it.
That would be awesome. Not really. Actually, to stop the war would be better. Not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, there's still good people on both sides. There's still bad people on both sides. So
maybe,
you know, maybe. I don't know. But no, actually, so the Logan Act stops any kind of citizen from contacting a like a
executive,
yeah, or like a president of another country or a leader Prime in another Minister, country,
yeah, anyone like in an executive branch in another
and
company.
And let's see, country. You got Hillary, Obama, Clinton, Bush, Kerry, John Kerry, or Senator John McCain. I mean, they all violated the Logan Act, and you know, it's just like, it's okay, you know. You guys
who's Amy Vanderpool? Her Twitter handle is Girls Really Rule. I don't trust her.
Already that she's the one that's the
who has a Twitter handle like that. Come on. Seriously.
Yeah. Girls really rule. I don't know.
What are you, seven?
If we have boys really rule, what would people say about that? Anyway,
yeah,
the point is, it's like, let's just hypothetically, even if Elon did reach out to him, if he's trying to propose peace, it's like, why are everyone attacking Elon? It's like, dude, he's trying to stop World War III from happening, whether it's true or not. And it's like, everyone's trying to bash him and get him in trouble. And it's like, come on, you guys, like, do you want World War III to happen? I mean, by the way, because the U.S. invested $300 million in a drug that fights against radiation poisoning. So it's like, you know, and they're like, oh, no cause for alarm. We're just stocking this up just in case. And it's like, come on, seriously? What do you think, Rob?
I think that media calls itself Vice. I could never get past that part. They're literally a nonsense clown world mouthpiece that does awful work every month. They're right up there, like the two worst, right up there at the same level, Vice and Daily Beast. Trash, just complete trash.
Totally trash.
Can't trust a word that they say.
I mean, they're both like Daily Beast. It's like, are you trying
Elon
to like worship
Musk
Satan there or something?
Sue the crap out of Vice to make an example of them. That never happened. Ooh. They wrote a disinformation piece about him. They hurt, you know, they hurt his reputation. Sue the heck out of them, man. People need to start doing this. People that can do this need to start doing this.
Well, Trump just sued CNN for like $500 million.
I hope he wins.
Me you too. Know,
And
I completely agree.
CNN go into even more debt. Who's even holding CNN up right now?
It makes CCP. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that must be it. it's like either it's like some of these elites or the CCP.
Yeah, Bill Gates, people like that. I mean, realistically, like that's the only reason why they're still afloat is because they're getting propped up by somebody. I mean, that's why they're all getting fired and losing their jobs, like Don Lemon, and he just got demoted and he was like crying on his last show.
Like, who was
Dom Lemon?
Oh yeah.
He got demoted, you know. And it's like it was so funny too, because he was on a flight and when he landed, he was just like, hey, been in the air for a long time. Like, anything going on? And it was like, yeah, while you're in the air, CNN just announced you're getting demoted.
You gotta pay the piper at some point, boys. Yeah. You know, I use that word loosely with you, Don Lemon. Boy, yeah.
All right. Well,
I think Don Lemon does not identify as a man. I don't know what he identifies as.
Reptilian,
maybe, or just like joking.
I don't know.
Don Lemon identifies as a really sad example of a human being.
or just a lemon.
Yeah, maybe. Start dressing like one.
Squeeze that lemon. Yeah, anyway. All right. We're running out of time. We probably need to get over on TV now.
We probably should do that pretty soon. We've gone over mostly everything here, and it's about time, you guys, that we leave Rumble and head over to Rise TV, where we'll be revealing the shocking and strange information we found while doing a deep dive on the World Economic Forum. Have you ever really clicked around their website or researched the background of one of the most powerful organizations on the planet? Well, we did, and we're going to share everything we found right now. So join us on Rise.TV. For just $9.99 a month and support our work. You'll get to ask us your questions during the live Q&A. And don't forget that your support lets us do these deep dives and bring you the truth that the censors don't want you to hear. And if you're listening to our podcast, remember to leave a 5-star rating and review to help us reach even more people. And behind the paywall, we're going to reveal whether or not Tulsi Gabbard was a part of the young World Economic Forum leaders.
Yeah. And also we'll get into how Trump is actually on the World Economic Forum and what that actually means and how he urged the world to ignore the prophets of doom.
Well, then. All right. Well, check out this trailer on transhumanism, which is Elon's favorite subject, and then join us on Rise.TV.
Part ape. Part human hybrid. Cyborgs and Terminator technology already existing. Sentient robots becoming indistinguishable from people. No, it's not the plot of the newest Matrix movie. This is our reality, a transhumanist one. How does transcending humanism tie into eugenics, Darwinism, and even cloning? Is there any part of our world that transhumanism hasn't touched? Is resistance futile? How can we rage against the machine?